Governor Christie joins us from New Hampshire. Governor, first of all, let's deal with the good news first. These comments that you made about drug addiction and about caring for human beings, not just in the womb there too, but when they grow up and they become full human beings. Why do you think it's taken off that now there are 7 million people who have viewed this, and more people can view it? By the way, it's linked at our website at michaelmedved.com. Why do you think this has struck such a chord and taken off this way?
Michael, I think it has for two reasons. One, because drug and alcohol addiction in our country is an epidemic, and it's affecting families no matter where you live, no matter what your economic or educational background is. And, you know, as I say in the video, there but for the grace of God go I. And I think people relate to that. And second, I think Republicans have wanted for a long time someone to really speak out about what it really means to be pro-life. That, you know, there's all this emphasis, especially that liberals want to put on it, that it's just about the time in the womb, and it's not. For those of us who are pro-life, we believe in life and the sanctity and the preciousness of human life at every stage of life. And no matter what turns or twists those lives take. And so I talk about a 16-year-old girl, heroin addict, on the floor of a jail cell. That life is precious, too, and we need to make that life as best as it could be, and that's by giving them treatment. So I think, you know, folks in the Republican and conservative movement hear somebody saying and really backing up what it means to be pro-life, and I think they feel good about that.
And that what's so moving in your video is you you talk about somebody who was in your study group in law school and who ended up dying of a drug overdose with addiction to Percocet, a prescription drug. Somebody who was very successful, had it all. You know what I was thinking of? I was remembering my own study group in law school. And one of the members of my study group went on to become Secretary of State and is running for president. But again, I don't want to say anything about no comparisons here. Governor, meanwhile, you are right now, you've gotten the news that because the average of polls, you have been dropped down to the so-called kiddie table debate. Lindsey Graham and George Pataki, two very worthy candidates, substantive guys, they've been dropped out altogether. They're not going to be in any debate at all. What do you think about the idea that you and Governor Mike Huckabee have been downgraded because of the polling results?
Well, you know, Michael, listen, I don't see it as a downgrade. I see it as a transfer. I'm obviously not happy about it. But I'll tell you this. We're not whiners or moaners or complainers in the Christie campaign. They're giving me a podium and a national television audience. And you know me, Michael. I've never had a problem making an impression. And so I'm going to go out and do what I do. I'm going to answer questions. I'm going to do it directly and honestly and frankly. And I'm willing to bet you that they're going to be talking on Wednesday about what I did on Tuesday night. And so I really feel most badly for Governor Pataki and Senator Graham. That's where my focus is right now. I think it's horribly unfair that those two men, both of whom are friends of mine, who I have great respect for both of them, are not going to get an opportunity to stand on that stage and put their views out there. I don't think that serves the American people. I don't know who it serves, quite frankly, but I feel particularly badly for Senator Graham and Governor Pataki. They're good friends, and I wish they were going to be on the stage because they deserve to be.
Amen to that, Governor. Let me ask you about when you talk about unfair. I'm sure you've been following some of these attacks in the last 48 hours on your fellow candidate, Dr. Ben Carson. Attacks saying, no, he really wasn't as violent and irresponsible as he says he was when he was a kid, as if that somehow is supposed to be embarrassing. And then the latest attack, which we're going to be talking about later, which I think is totally bogus, claiming that he wasn't offered a scholarship to West Point. Well, isn't everybody who goes to West Point offered a scholarship? You go to West Point free, right?
You do.
Yeah. So what do you say about the attacks on Dr. Carson?
Well, I'll say this. I don't know enough about him, Michael, to really comment on him substantively. I've been campaigning for the last 2 days, so I haven't followed as closely as I might have otherwise. But what I will tell you is we're all responsible for our personal story, right? We put our personal story out there. We tell folks our history as part of our candidacy. And we have to be able to back that up. And so I have absolutely no doubt that Dr. Carson is a good, decent, and honest man, because in my time interacting with him on the campaign, he's been nothing but that. So I'm sure that, you know, he'll answer these allegations. And if he answers them to the satisfaction of the American people, not the media, the American people, if he does that, he'll be fine.
Obviously, he's in the process of doing that right now. You'd say the same thing about some of the attacks on Senator Rubio about, I mean, can you believe it, about his credit card accounts?
Absolutely. The fact is, we all have to answer these questions. And it seems to me he has plausible answers to what's going on, at least from what I've heard from him. And so the American people, once again, Michael, not the media, but the American people will decide if the answers are sufficient for them. If they're not, they'll ask for more answers from the senator, and then he'll give them. But, you know, with $19 trillion in debt, with ISIS plotting against us, with the Russians in Syria, with the Iranians and the Cubans, 1.5% GDP growth, we got a lot of big problems to be discussing in America. And I don't think, you know, that ranks among them.
Yeah, I mean, right. The Dr. Carson's behavior as a 14-year-old or Marco Rubio's credit cards, probably not the top of national concerns. One of the things that is a top of national concerns, because it's just a job killer, the president announced today he's going to block the Keystone pipeline and try to kill it. Your reaction, Governor?
No shock. And the only shock is that he's disingenuous enough, dishonest enough with the American people that he didn't tell us that a long time ago. Is there anybody who has common sense in this country who actually might approve the pipeline? He is a liberal environmentalist ideologue. And he has, and even on an environmental basis, there's no basis. And his own State Department said it to block the Keystone pipeline. His own EPA said it. This is the president being an ideologue. And I'm not the least bit surprised. But let's remember, it's a slap in the face to the Canadian people. It's a slap in the face to the Canadian government. And it's going to cost American jobs and American opportunity.
And when you talk about costing American jobs, there is good news on the unemployment front, at least temporarily, though people don't know what to make of that in terms of the message on the economy. What do you say to those folks? There was a piece in USA Today to this effect, that the economy is actually much, much better than Republican politicians let on.
No, it's not. I mean, because the fact is that the unemployment number doesn't even count people who have stopped trying to look for work. And there are an awful lot of those people in America. And secondly, we just saw that the last quarter's GDP growth was 1.5%. That's anemic. That is completely anemic. And this president has led the weakest recovery from a recession since World War II. And if, you know, I talked to a woman up here in New Hampshire yesterday. I said to her, what's the most important issue to you? She said to me, Governor, every month when my bills come in, I am wrought with anxiety, hoping that I have enough money to pay them.
Okay, Governor, last question, because I know you have to run and we're coming up to a break. Your colleagues, Ben Carson and Bernie Sanders, both have rap songs now promoting their campaigns. You're not permitted to use Bruce Springsteen songs. Are you going to provide a rap song of your own?
I will not provide a rap song of my own, but I am permitted to use New Jersey's own John Bon Jovi's music. And so at our rallies, we use Bon Jovi music to remind people we're from New Jersey. And John and Dorothea are good friends and have given me and Mary Pat permission to use any of John's catalog over the course of the campaign at our rallies or any other way we want. So we do have some Jersey pride from Bon Jovi that we're bringing to New Hampshire and Iowa and all across the country.
But I'm not sure you're going to be using the song Living on a Prayer. But
no, not Living on a Prayer. I'll tell you what we will use. We weren't born to follow.
And neither was Chris Christie. Governor, I wish you good luck. I know you're in the car headed north in New Hampshire.